From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his sixth message in an intensive study of the book of Romans. We live in an age when there is much confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it is imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. We must be clear about the fact that all that God has to say to mankind, He says in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the gospel concerns the incarnation and the humiliation of Christ. In order to be the Savior of sinners, the eternal Son of God had to become a man so that He could die as the sinless substitute for lost souls. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Full Reliance on God. The text is Psalm 72, verse 12. For He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. The needy cries. What else can he do? His cry is heard of God. What else need he do? Let the needy listener take to crying at once, for this will be his wisdom. Do not cry in the ears of friends, for even if they can help you, it is only because the Lord enables them. The nearest way is to go straight to God, and let your cry come before Him. Straightforward makes the best runner. Run to the Lord, and not to secondary causes. Alas, you cry, I have no friend or helper. So much the better. You can rely upon God in both capacities, as without supplies and without helpers. Make your double need your double plea. Even for temporal mercies you may wait upon God, for He careth for His children in these temporary concerns. As for spiritual necessities, which are the heaviest of all, the Lord will hear your cry, and will deliver you and supply you. O poor friend, try your rich God. O helpless one, lean on His help. He has never failed me, and I am sure He will never fail you. Come as a beggar, and God will not refuse you help. Come with no plea but His grace. Jesus is King. Will He let you perish of want? What? Did you forget this?
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
where Christ is not honored in His gospel, the Holy Spirit is not working in His grace. Understand that. The gospel is not about the Holy Spirit working independently of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not about us and our problems and our feelings. Oh, it's true that the gospel meets us. We need it. It's true that the gospel brings God's answer to our need. But only in Christ. Oh, I would to God that people could grasp that. The gospel has been perverted into some touchy-feely, politically correct, mousy little message that God exists to make you feel good, to stroke your fur the right way. That's not the gospel. I heard a charismatic acting out a scene that was supposed to give God's answer to some of the great problems of life. Speaking to a young girl who had fallen into immorality and was wondering about an abortion. The message was given that your problem just remains. What this means, I haven't a clue, mind you, but it just remains the problem of the world, the evil of the world, unless you decide to do something about it. May the Lord help us when the gospel has been perverted to the level that we go to sinners and we tell them God's answer is for you to do something about your sin. I thank God I have a far better message than that. The message is, He has done something about your sin. It's concerning His Son. The gospel's not about the church. The gospel's not about sacraments. All these figure largely in the New Testament, but only as servants to the Son of God and as means of pointing us to Christ. The gospel is all about Christ. When you turn to the New Testament, you must notice how the apostles preached Christ. Acts 5:42. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 8:5. Philip went to Samaria after the scattering of the saints from Jerusalem. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Later in that 8th chapter, we find how God took them out of that revival and sent them to a lonely place to meet with the Ethiopian eunuch. When he found him reading in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In Acts 12:20, we read of some more who were scattered. And these men of Cyprus and Cyrene came to Antioch and chapter, he said, that I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When he went preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Christ. Christ in His person. Christ in His offices. Christ in His work. Christ in His glorious invitations. Christ in His promises. It's Christ. 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 Oh, that the world would hear. There is life in Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's acceptance in Christ. There's justification in Christ. There is eternal life in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. That's the simple yet glorious and sublime message of the Scriptures. The gospel concerns His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must go on. The gospel concerns the incarnation and the humiliation of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that the Son of God was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now you must note the contrast that is certainly intended here. It was the Son of God, His Son, that was made of the seed of David. The word Son is in contrast to the humanity. So this is the eternal sonship. Son of God, that's what He is eternally. But He was made of the seed of David. The word made means He became, or He came to be. And there is an intentional contrast between the eternity of His sonship and the commencement of His humanity. Now we come to one of the great mysteries of Scripture. And I call it a mystery because that's what the Bible calls it. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Or in the words of Romans 1, the Son of God was made or came to be in the seed of David according to the flesh. Now this is real flesh. This really happened. This was not some figment of imagination. This was not some, I hesitate to use the word, but it was not some sleight of hand by God to make it appear. There was always a heresy afflicting the early years of the Christian church. It was called the Docetic heresy. It had various arms and branches. But it took its name from the verb that meant to seem or to appear. And the whole idea was that the flesh of Christ was only an apparent flesh. His body was only an apparent body. It was a phantasmal body. It was not a real body. It was not real flesh and real blood. But I tell you, the entirety of the gospel depends on it being real flesh, real blood, real bones. As Paul said to the Ephesians, He's flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones. This is the truth of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was real flesh, not sinful flesh. Romans 8 verse 3 says He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That simply says that when you looked at the Lord Jesus, He looked like other men. The likeness of our sinful flesh was there, but His flesh was not sinful flesh. It was nonetheless real flesh. The Son of God took to Himself a true humanity. Body and soul. The flesh does not merely speak of the body. I'll make more of that a little later. It speaks of body and soul. Or if you're a believer in trichotomy, as I am, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus Christ had a human spirit, for He said on the cross, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He had a human soul. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And He had a human body. This is Christ taking flesh. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 9, Paul deals with this again. And he speaks of the Jews. Whose are the fathers? Verse 5. Whose are the fathers and of whom? As concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen.
Don't want to get off on a tangent here.
A lot of your modern translations deliberately turn a statement into a doxology. And they take one of the greatest proof texts of the deity of Christ in the New Testament, and they say, Christ came, period. May God, who is over all, be blessed forever. The translation is without warrant. This is what Paul wrote. Let us understand it. Concerning the flesh, Christ came of the line of his Jewish ancestry, but he is over all. He is God, blessed forever. What a step that was. We will, of course, if time permits, to turn to this text for other purposes. But remember how Paul described it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Down, down, down. When I deal with this subject, I always say, I wish I could sing. This is where I would break into song. Down from his glory. Have you ever heard, I think Gene has sung that for us. Have you ever heard that great song, that beautiful description of Christ coming down, down, down to the depths of our woe to save us from our sin? That was, and this is something people don't really seem to grasp. Every time we say something like this, there'll be somebody lift his eyebrows and come and ask a question, do you really mean what you say there? Yes, we do. That was an irreversible step of divine grace and condescension. The eternal Son of God laid aside the robes of his invisibility, and he took into union with himself a true humanity, and for all eternity, the Son of God will be in personal union with that human nature. That's condescension of such an order that I cannot begin to comprehend it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.